Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
Excuse me one second. Hey, whoever's got that, turn that off. Just turn it off.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I am your host, The Mage. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Tino. Say what's up to the people, Tino.
What is going on, people? Golden Tate is gone. Cuts have been made. I don't want to ruin the entire show. That's pretty much all the topics we have today. But you know what? Let's just get out early in front of it. And I know Murph's excited about it. Let's keep it going. Baby. Let's keep the ball rolling.
I'm anxious. I've been patiently waiting for this. You know, last night wasn't on Twitter for probably about an hour and a half. Get back on Golden Tate and Mayo cut. And yeah, dude, I'm ready for more. I'm fiending.
Did you say taint?
Fiending. Golden Tate.
I think you said taint at one point.
Well, y'all are gonna shit on him all night. So,
well, you know, thank you for taking away the only joy that Murph has had. He's been crying for cuts for the last 4 weeks. And finally he has some. But guess what, guys? It's not just us today. We are joined also by Jonathan Pericelli. Jonathan, how are you?
What's going on, buddy? How you guys doing?
Good, man. Well, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
At J Pericelli on Twitter. I'm usually on there causing some havoc.
You guys didn't get that, did you?
So I also want to let the people at home know, Mage is trying to figure out his audio issues. He's trying to figure it out. He's going with the flow here. He's coming in and out. I kind of understand him, kind of, but I'm guessing at this point.
I lost him a little bit there, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sure. I completely hit JP with the rock. It doesn't matter what your screen name is. And it just didn't catch it at all. I'm really, really,
see,
I don't
when
know.
You talk like that, it's fine.
It sounds better. Now it's bad.
So it's when I get louder that it just.
Off your shit. Something's off with your background, too.
It's like a washer or dryer or something.
No, wait, what? Timeout?
Not that background, Johnny.
No timeouts.
What is going on? Can you guys hear me? Hello? Is this thing on?
We can hear you. The people at home can hear you. It just doesn't sound very appealing.
This is the shit mic that Murph recommended me because my last one wasn't good.
I hear Murph fine.
Yeah, Murph, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Well, Murph's using headphones, though. Maybe you're not using headphones.
No.
Your reason.
I don't
know. Intro to the show. Good intro.
Yeah, no, this is a great intro to the show. Anyway, make sure you follow us at Clapback _ Sports on Twitter. One of you guys just nod your head if you can't hear me. Instagram, follow us on Instagram. I don't know where that is anymore either. Follow Tino on Twitter at Tino Rodriguez, _ at the end. And Murph is suspended yet again. So he is handling our Clapback Sports Twitter. But, yeah, and who knows how long we'll have that with Murph at the helm, so.
I also want to know, JP's in a closet, and we hear him better than you right now, Mage.
I'm in a closet. This is my safe space.
This is honestly frustrating. I have no idea what is going on.
I'm using $6 headphones, by the way.
Wow. How much did you pay for that mic, Mage?
This was actually a cheap mic, but it's the same mic that Murph uses, so I thought it came with some good recommendations.
Okay, you don't have to say the price. I just, you know, we were throwing price tags on it.
They're $55, right?
No, it was less than that. It was like $30.
$35?
It's too much.
But my other mic, my Blue Yeti,
I was having
problems with last week. So, I don't know. Audio okay now?
Now you sound fine.
Maybe it was too high. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's I'm high.
Loud voice. Use your indoor voice, dude.
I don't have an indoor voice. All right. What was the movie with Will Ferrell when he only had one
You have to be specific. That's a little broad.
Yeah, the movie with Will Ferrell. Yeah. Oh, what a good one, dude.
He only
classic.
Made like two, so.
Oh, Daddy's man. Home?
Nice. Whatever, man. I don't know. I'm flustered over this whole sound issue.
Well, here's something that the people at home would like. JP pulled a Giants card and he didn't know who that Giant was. Anybody want to talk about that?
Rodney Hampton, the great Rodney Hampton.
He now knows.
Yeah, JP got shamed because he had no idea who Rodney Hampton was. So
I was trying to pile through the pack and I got excited and then I was like, who is this guy? And there was a lot of frustration going on there.
Yeah, so Johnny's ripping cards while we're talking Giants. So
all right, Tino, why don't you go ahead and plug your card business.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, guys, if you're looking for anything, autograph, memorabilia, anything like that, just J Pericelli, J-P-E-R-R-I-C-E-L-L-I. I'm always posting stuff on there. Feel free to DM me and work something out for you guys.
Where's that, on Twitter?
Yeah, on Twitter.
All right, if you can find those posts in between the incoherent ramblings that goes on for 23 and a half hours, so.
Yes, there's a lot of that in between the two.
Probably easier to just skip your eBay name.
I post more on Twitter, but just DM me.
All right, so where do we get started, boys? So, Tino, why don't you lead off? You gave us a little bit of a prelude about the cuts that came yesterday. So where's this put the Giants? Where are we at cap wise, etc.?
Well, so you expected us to trash Golden Tate the entire episode. We actually did that like three episodes ago, so I don't really need to do that again. Mayo, I wouldn't say was a surprise cut, but I don't think he played well enough to definitely stay on the team, and I thought we saved a nice amount of money with that. I'm glad the whole Tate thing got resolved early. I mean, we talk about receiver being a need and how many slot receivers we have and how we're tied to the Curtis Samuels of the world and all these other guys. Well, if we really want to go that route, we definitely couldn't keep Golden Tate. So I'm glad we got rid of him early. And we don't have to see his fucking girlfriend post on Instagram anymore on those rants. And dude, he was a sourpuss last year. Good riddance, man. And but yo, it's riddance or riddance? Riddance. A-N-A-N-C-E, not riddance. I now know. So thanks for that.
Yes. Yeah, that was a very nice group message that we had there yesterday, or discussion. Is it riddance versus riddance?
We're doing extracurricular activities. Leave us alone, Mish. But I'm going to take a different route here, guys. I'm taking a little positive route, a little positive Golden Tate route, because, as you know, Golden Tate's my guy.
Why does your mic sound so much better?
Let's do a little, because I have headphones on. Let's do a little reminiscing here, though. Like, looking back on it, yes, financially, it was probably not a good decision at all. I think we can all agree with that. We've all talked about that in the past. But, I mean, let's be real, man. There's no Danny success in 2019 without Tate. I've said it before on here. I'll say it again. Yep. Tate was a huge factor in Danny's success in 2019. Like it or not, with the turnovers or not, Danny was a Rookie of the Year candidate, and Tate was a huge part of that. Caught eight TDs over his 2 years here. I mean, I've seen worse. The contract for itself, but it is what it is, man. He obviously, as Mr. Chris would always say, he lost his curveball this last year. Definitely slowed down a bit, but I mean, I think we all saw this coming. Now, I do think it's kind of funny because we were just saying last week we didn't think they'd cut Tate for a little while, knowing that they didn't have a replacement on the roster. But Giants are making moves, man, and you know, there's more rumors out there to come.
Great input, Johnny. I'm glad that we had you on the show. Thank you very much for that Golden Tate insight. I can jump in.
You're not going to get analysis
like that anywhere else.
I wasn't asked to jump in yet. I was waiting for my
round table. Usually it's a round table, so Tino goes, Murph goes, you go, and then that's how things work.
All right, I apologize. I wasn't aware of the round table rules. I will say I agree with Murph when it comes to Tate. I was actually excited about the signing when he came in just because I felt like it was going to be a veteran. He was really good after the catch, and I mean – his rookie year, you saw the production. He was really solid for us. I know a lot of people complain that it pushed Shep out of the slot, which obviously wasn't ideal for his skill set. But I don't know, man. I felt like we didn't really utilize Tate this year. So it's like, yeah, like it didn't work out. It is what it is. But at the same time, like he wasn't really getting targets in games. Our offense was obviously kind of a disaster in general. So, I mean, to me, like, yeah, it wasn't like a successful signing. But at the same time, like, he produced. And I don't know if Murph mentioned it, but I mean, his numbers and Odell's numbers the last 2 years were pretty identical. And, you know, people will get mad at that and they'll be like, oh, whatever, you're an idiot. But I mean, the numbers don't lie and the numbers show you they were pretty similar in production. So, I don't know. I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, it was a signing. He's gone, and now we'll move on, and hopefully we'll bring in Kenny Golladay, Allen Robinson, and Chris Godwin and have the best offense in the league.
All right, so one thing happened today on Giants Twitter. There was a little bit of an uproar that we started when there was a comment about blame Jerry Reese for this, or Giants fans will blame Jerry Reese for this instead of Dave Gettleman. Referring to the 2019 Jordan Renan put out about the 2019 free agency class is completely wiped out. It's a fucking stupid narrative. And it makes no sense because our boy Brendan corrected me, but there were five signings at free agency. It was Golden Tate, multi-year deal, Antoine Bethea, whom I thought was a two-year deal, but Brendan said it was a one-year deal with a one-year option. Kareem Martin, who were the other two? Olsen Pierre? No.
Yeah, I think he was on there.
Olsen Pierre was on there. I don't think Kareem Martin was on there. Kareem Martin was a multi-year deal. Who else were the other two?
Thea, Tate, Golden.
Is Golden, so it was, and Mike Remmers. So, Bethea, Marcus Golden, Pierre, and Remmers all had one-year deals. Golden Tate was the only one to sign a multi-year deal. So, any surprise that the that free agency class is wiped out? Like, it's this fucking narrative that anyone can possibly paint. They were all one-year deals. Of course they're gone.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so stupid. But Johnny brought up the point about the yards after catch. So, what was the one thing that Odell Beckham did really well in New York?
He was great at taking the ball to the house.
Right? Yeah, it take a slant across the middle to the house. Golden Tate had more yards after catch in 2018 than Odell Beckham did. So I think that the mindset – I didn't like the Golden Tate signing either. But I think the mindset there was you have to replace a guy like Odell Beckham who does with the yards after the catch with another guy that does well with yards after the catch. The problem with the Giants is that they had too many slot receivers at that point. It was kind of like, I mean, you know, what are you going to do with all these guys? It never really kind of worked out.
Tate was a producing wide receiver in the NFL before he got to the Giants. I mean, the way it all went down with Odell to Tate and paying him and whatever it is, what it is, like, cool. It's 2020. We can look back and talk about that. But, like, Tate is still an elite wide receiver from
that contract at the time, though, was too much.
No, I'm not arguing the contract. There's no argument there, but I'm just saying, like, it just always felt like Golden Tate was a little undervalued, you know? Yes, he was older coming into our franchise. Yes, we were kind of rebuilding, but Golden Tate's produced in the NFL his whole career. So I don't know why we're slandering Golden Tate. I mean, the dude was a reception and Yak King for a lot of years in the league in Detroit and Seattle. I mean, shit, he won a Super Bowl in Seattle too. And it was a huge part of that.
Yeah, but the truth is that when Odell left, people like Johnny cried for 3 weeks. And Golden Tate wasn't that guy that was going to replace a type of talent that Odell was. But I'm not trying to say that Golden Tate is Odell Beckham or that he's better than Odell Beckham.
Oh, no, no.
But where I'm always going to go with a narrative is what was the mindset of the organization or the franchise at that point. In 2018, Odell Beckham had 305 yards after the catch. And like Johnny said twice, he was a yak guy and he was a guy that could take a slant to the house. Golden Tate in 2018 had 427 yards after the catch. Almost 127 more than Odell Beckham. So if you're looking to replace that type of production with what he can do, Golden Tate seemed like a pretty good fit at the time. In hindsight, I mean, it didn't really work out.
I don't see the problem. I really don't, man.
Well, the problem was in the contract, right?
I get that, but Golden Tate is, even that when he's gone, he's still had a hell of a career in the NFL, no doubt.
Hey, but think about it from this perspective. When we signed him, who were the wide receivers at that time in free agency that we really were going to bring in for around that money? I mean, was there anybody else that we looked at and we said, oh, we could pay them, but we didn't, and we got Golden Tate? I feel like we got one of the better wide receivers on the market at the time. And, again, yeah, he didn't do a lot this year, but at the same time, you can also argue he wasn't really utilized at all. He didn't get targeted much. He just kind of got scripted out of games. And I don't know, obviously there was a rift with the organization because, he got left out of a game and then, whatever happened there after that, and then he just kind of fell out of grace. But I don't know, man. I think the whole argument is kind of dumb, and it's just the same people that are pissed off that Odell got shipped off. Shit, I was mad that he got shipped off. I thought it was stupid. I thought we should have got more. But you look at the market now, wide receivers aren't garnishing that type of return. Odell was literally a superstar when we traded him, and we got a lot for him. And, hopefully it ends up working out. We don't end up cutting Zeitler this week, and, we don't lose him. But I think it's a really dumb thing to be arguing about at this point. He played well. It's over. You know what I mean? He's gone. Shep's going to go back to the slot. We'll draft somebody. We'll sign somebody. I mean, it's – I don't know. I think it's just another thing for Giants Twitter to be losing it over.
To answer your question, I'm looking at some of the deals that were done in that 2019 season. Tyrell Williams was a wide receiver that was available and went to the Raiders.
He was a bust.
John Brown. Thinking back now, John Brown might have been probably a better fit for the Giants with his ability to spread the offense, and then you keep Shepard underneath in the slot. So
he had a hell of a 2019 season, too.
He had a what?
John Brown had a hell of a 2019 season, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at Tate right now, man. Again, we could be talking about a completely different quarterback right now with no Tate in 2019.
And then the other wide receivers available, Adam Humphries, Jamison Crowder, and Cole Beasley. So, I mean, it wasn't a great free agent class. I mean, Golden Tate, of all those guys, was probably the most proven. He was also probably the second most expensive contract given to a wide receiver that year also. So
do you guys think Golden Tate getting cut yesterday is we're big fishing in free agency?
Well, Merv, I actually wanted to allude to that earlier, but Tino has been quiet since the intro of the show, so I want to give Tino floor here for a second, and then I'll introduce another thought.
No, so I'm going to actually go off on another thought here because we did have two cuts. The thing with Tate, too, he missed time his first year, so I don't like to look exactly at his numbers because they're going to be a little skewed. He didn't play a full 16-game season either season, so obviously not that great. I do think what we've been saying on this show nonstop is that, a move like this can indicate that maybe we're going to address the wide receiver need in free agency, which changes a lot looking at the draft. Now, what I wanted to tie this into is we cut Mayo. Our linebacker depth is already thin. And I mean really thin because Devontae Downs just ain't it. So that means we got two capable guys, Blake and Tay. And Tay is a second-year linebacker. Played very well. I love Tay Crowder, but we're thin. And we still need an outside presence. I'm sorry, guys. I said I wouldn't say it, and I know I love him. But please bring Micah Parsons here. Just please. Please, can it happen? For once, can we just get a linebacker? He wore 11. We're picking 11. We got Coach Chaos. It all makes fucking sense. He'd play great with Cam Brown. I think the sky is the limit for Cam Brown. I can imagine them on stunts. Look, he's got to get a little bulk on him, but he's 6'3", 245. He's just not that masculine. He's not thick, but that'll get there. He has speed. He has agility. He's played inside, so he already can fill in that LB2 position, or we can rotate him to the outside linebacker position. I think he makes a ton of sense. Defense is a strength. Let's build on it. We cut a linebacker. We're thin at linebacker. I think it makes sense to draft Parsons or a linebacker in this draft relatively early because it's a weakness for this team. Blake covered up a huge hole, but it's been a weakness for this team for a while. Since Pierce, I think, honestly. Since Antonio Pierce has been gone, I don't think the Giants have had a linebacker other than Blake now.
Well, Major's mock draft 1.0, I did have Parsons going to the Giants. But, and again, this is storytelling season. All signs come out that Micah Parsons may not be as good as advertised. Again, I don't like buying into that hype. Believe what you heard pre-draft. Believe all the noise for the last year, 2 years. coming into the draft.
Mage, but tell me now, isn't that a perfect pick for this team too? Someone you don't think is going to be that good, let him fall to us. You don't think Patrick Graham's going to get the most out of a guy like that? I mean, I think we have the right guy in a position that even if his tape doesn't line up, and I'm watching his tape as we're filming this, and it does line up, he's doing most of his damage from the inside through the interior of the line past running backs. But even if you're worried about off the field stuff, I think we got the guys to do it. You have his former college coach there with Spencer Chaos. I think it makes too much sense. And we talked about it on the mock episode, but starting to add up to me because there's no way we're addressing that in free agency. Not only that,
I mean, he can rush the passer.
Yeah, he can play on that as well. He can play off the edge. I have a good buddy of mine's a really big Penn State fan. And we were talking about it the other day, and he was saying to me that if he somehow falls to 11, it would really be a perfect fit for us because of the defensive scheme, the coaching staff, and his ability to play all over the field. I mean, he's a very versatile player. And I'll be honest with you, man, it's been a long time since we've really been able to watch our defense just dominate teams. And this year was fun for that, right? Like, we had a defense that really was going to go out there every single game and punch somebody in the mouth, kind of, you know, like Judge's press conference. He came out, he said that they did that. There was a couple of games we came out flat, like Arizona. But I'll tell you, man, I really think Michael Parsons is way better than a lot of people are saying he is. And I don't know if that's like a media narrative, because for a while, most people thought he was going to be a top three pick. Like, if you followed it over the last 7-8 months, like, that was the conversation. And now all of a sudden he's going to like 15, 20, like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like,
well, the other storyline to it is that he opted out. And I think out of all the people who have opted out, he's right now the casualty. Out of everyone in the top 10, everyone's pretty much kept their draft stock. Pineda's there. Chase is there. I mean, Trey Lance played one game against a bum team. He's still going to go top 10, allegedly. But Parsons is falling. And it's interesting.
Dallas worries me there, because they're definitely on defense.
Oh, yeah. Well, they could. I mean, their offensive line is starting to have a lot of issues. I mean, look at all the problems they had this last year. You saw, you know, obviously Dak get hurt. If they're going to re-sign him, I'm sure they're going to be sitting there thinking to themselves, okay, we need to protect this guy. Zeke looked pretty pedestrian without a top O-line. I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
Tucker is a guy that's climbing draft boards for offensive tackle, too.
Who?
For USC.
Yeah, Dallas is also losing –
I had mentioned
Brown next Tucker. Year.
Who?
And Jaylen Brown's a free agent next year. Mm-hmm. And Vander Esch has that neck thing, man.
Jaylen Smith.
Ain't going to last long.
You said Jaylen Brown, and I was like, wait a second. Am I missing Jaylen
Isn't
Brown?
Is that his name?
He plays for the Celtics.
Jaylen Brown. Are you talking about the
– Jaylen Smith. Rod Smith.
Jaylen Brown plays for the Chargers.
Yeah.
And the Celtics.
But also, I think –
Jaylen Smith.
I think there's a good potential that they just go cornerback, man. I mean, look at the
guys.
I mean,
they're going defense. That was my point. Yeah, it's either corner, defense, or
I honestly think you're onto something, because the saving grace for that defense, too. I thought Trevon Diggs played pretty well for them, and that's what they took a shot on. And if I'm them, why not? Why not? Why not double it down? Because they still couldn't stop a nosebleed. They got no.
Well, and I mean, I think if you look at that defense, like, they're beefed up on the offensive line. They still have Randy Gregory come back, and then they have. What's his name on the other end, and then they have Diggs, like you said. Like, it makes sense to add to that secondary and just let your defensive line get home, and they still have two stud linebackers. So I don't know, I don't think Parsons is a foregone conclusion for them. I really don't. I think if he goes anywhere, I honestly think Philly might take him. A lot of people think Philly's going wide receiver. I think they go defense. Their defense is horrible, dude.
They're horrible. Everything horrible on there.
Yeah, I hate those.
Why don't we do it? The round robin. Let's talk about the entire division.
Well, hold on 1 second before we go into the division, because I want to stick with the cap situation.
Okay.
And something that you talked about earlier. So there was a rumor put out today that the Giants are looking or shopping Kevin Zeitler. Now, if the Giants are actually thinking about trading Kevin Zeitler, coming back to your point, Murph, then I'll say that they're big game shopping. I don't think they're freeing up space. You know, right now the Giants are what, about $16 million, I think, under the cap.
Mm-hmm. They carried over three. They had, I think they had like 4. They carried over 3, and then they cut like 9 with what they did. So yeah, close to 16.
Let me jump in and ask this question to Mage though. Mage, they're big game shopping by trading Zeitler, and what do they do with Solder? Like, what's the play with that? Is that accounting that Solder is not coming back?
I think at this point, and I've said this all along, you can only keep one or the other. You can't get rid of both. You just can't. Because you're creating too many holes, and then you're relying on 4 players.
Don't need to be getting rid of either one, man.
No.
I'm okay telling you.
Can I answer the question?
My brain is telling me. I'm reading the leaves, the tea leaves with Solder, man. First he says he feels bad that he opted out. Then he tells ESPN he wants to come back. Then he says he hasn't heard from the Giants yet. And then reports come out that the Giants are going to approach him with a pay cut. It's got to be going down. And he's not going to have any kind of market on the free agent market because he's complete trash. So no. Even whatever we offer him as a pay cut, whatever we offer him is going to be more than he's going to be able to get on the free agent market. So if the Giants are truly going to give him a pay cut, I think it only makes sense that he's back.
All right, back to my point. Thank you, Murph, for that.
No getting rid of any linemen. That's the point.
Well, my thing is that you can't get rid of both of them. You can't. And I've said that for months. You absolutely can't, because then you're relying on Thomas, you're relying on Lemieux, and you're reliant on Pert. 3 second-year players, and also Gates, would be starting at center for a second year. That's too much inexperience on the offensive line. However, if you're going to get rid of one of them, there's a much larger cap savings in getting rid of or trading Kevin Zeitler than there is getting rid of Solder. You save more money by keeping Solder and getting rid of Zeitler. And you know, Murph, I don't want this. I've said this all along. I'd rather keep Zeitler. He's been the most consistent on the offensive line. I said that I would even extend him, try to lower his cap hit. He's still at a good enough age where you can extend him another year or two to get the most out of him. But it's crazy that we heard today that they're looking, or who was it, Jason? I forget how his name.
He lies all the time. Lecon Frey or whatever.
I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. We've thought that might happen, or I don't like that it's getting leaked that they're trying to, because it's a Kyle Van Noy situation. Once teams find out that they're going to release him, it's game fucking over. So
what? Nobody said that he's. No one said that he's.
I know, but once feelers start and other people start digging on it and shit, and once it starts becoming bigger, that's how the shit happens, man.
Here's the thing, though: the Giants trade Zeitler, they are now closer to being $30 million under the cap.
If Vince Gettleman can trade Zeitler at that contract, you can release him from all his sins, because that's insane. I mean, isn't it like 15 mil?
No, 12 or 14. Or was it 12 or 14 or something this year? I 12 million cap savings, I think.
I know he's our most consistent, but is he even that great at the end of the day?
So let me ask you guys a question, because you're talking about getting cap space, and I understand the argument, but like, here's my thing. All right, so say we trade Zeitler. Say we find a suitor for Ingram. We move all these guys. And, yeah, say we have – I'm going to throw out an arbitrary number.
Suitor for Ingram. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, dude, so apparently people wanted him last year. There was multiple reports that people were calling about him, and the Giants shut it down.
No one wants him more than the Giants. I assure you of that. I don't know why.
All right, let's say he gets traded for a 5th-round pick. Just argument's sake. You lose that $6 million.
You're triggering the shit out of Tino, dude. The Evan Ingram talk, triggering the shit out of him.
This laughter, there's pain behind this laughter.
Yeah, he's like crying on the inside.
I love Ingram, and I really rooted for Ingram this year. I get the pain. I'm just throwing it out there as an arbitrary idea, arbitrary number. Let's say we're at $45 million under the cap, right? So, yeah, we have all this money, but now we have all these holes. So you've traded Zeitler, so you need an offensive lineman. We already need a right tackle, so we'll need a right guard. Is Gates going to be the
bitch?
He just got bounced, but I like where his head was at, and I can just pick up where he left off. Because, no, he's 100% right, and when he comes back in, he'll add to it. But I was going to jump in and tell you guys exactly that. Gates has to go to guard. Gates has to go to guard if we're trading Zeitler. I assure you of that. The idea of Hernandez and Lemieux protecting Danny next year scares the living shit out of me. That is the most terrifying thing I could think of.
We talked about this. I'm telling you, boys, that Jonathan Harrison signing is going to be much bigger than fans think.
I don't want any of these guys cut, man. Like, people forget how shitty we had it when one lineman used to go down and Justin Pugh had to play every fucking position on the line. Like, dude, last year, if one thing good happened for the O-line, it was injuries. We didn't have any. I'm telling y'all, man, we are playing with fire.
So here's a question, Murph, and I'll also ask Tino the same question. What would you prefer? Keep Zeitler and not get a top target at wide receiver? Or get top target at wide receiver and get rid of Zeitler? At this point with the cap situation,
am I keeping Nate?
I'm assuming you're keeping one of them. So let's assume Zeitler's gone.
I'm cool with that, but I don't love it. I don't fucking love it.
Because look, we have,
first of all, it's make it or break it time for Danny. And second of all, I know Solder is shit, but there isn't much else on the menu right now. And there isn't a lot of coin for the menu either. Like,
so no doubt. We keep Solder. He takes over the Fleming role at right tackle. Last year, they debated it. If we structure his contract, he's back. He's going right tackle. That's just it. Thomas has that left. Pert's going to work his way in. Gates has got to rotate to guard. And then let Lemieux and Hernandez play one guard position. If they're both good enough and get better enough, then maybe we have, you know, the guards and then Gates to center, if and when maybe. But you got to move Solder to right tackle. And that's just that. I mean, he takes the Cam Fleming role, but a really fucking expensive Cam Fleming role.
No, not necessarily, because he's going to have to take a pay cut. There's no way either one of them two is playing at their current contract, it's Zeitler. Nate Solder's not playing at his contract. I think that we can all probably agree on that. I mean, it's out there. He's getting cut or he's getting a pay cut. But
Nate Solder's contract for this season is cap at $16.5 million. You were right, Merv. Zeitler's not far behind. 14.5.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, because we already restructure him once too?
I think we may have.
I'm pretty sure we did, bro, we got him. But regardless, anyways, I'm just not okay with losing him, man. But if that means that they're going to go sign some vets in free agency that are going to play on the line. But then again, I'm not going and signing a one-year $4.5 million Cam Fleming again. Fuck that. We don't have those kind of coin. So, like,
Aaron Williams is really interesting to me.
Yeah, he's interesting to me.
Only because, he's a Gettleman guy, right? But two, he hasn't played all that well. Last year in Buffalo was probably his best season that he's had. So I'm intrigued what type of contract he's going to be able to get this year, Darrell Williams. Is it going to be closer to middle of the tier? Or is somebody going to be able to get him on a value again?
So JP's back in. I think
maybe he
lost connection, his phone died, but we picked up where you left off. You're right. There are a lot of holes. We started talking about some situations on if, you know, how to address those holes that you were about to talk about, but let's hear your take on it. So where are the holes and what do you do on the offensive line with those holes?
Yeah, man. Sorry about that, guys. My phone.
Address them holes.
No, so my whole thing about it is, you know, obviously if we move all these guys, for me, I look at it like this. Is Nick Gates a starting center in the NFL? I still don't know. You know, he played well at times. There was other times where, you know, obviously he looked like a guy that never had. We don't really know what's happening at left guard. You know, Will Hernandez seemed to be the guy. Then Shane Lemieux obviously was in favor with this coaching staff. So if we move our guy at right guard, you're literally opening up four holes. So you have right tackle, we don't know. Right guard, we're going to be replacing. Center, we're going to be replacing. Left guard, we need to replace. So Gettleman came in and basically said, hey, I'm going to fix this offensive line. We're going into year four, and we're going to have four holes on the offensive line. That's a really big deal. We're obviously going to have to replace Evan Ingram if we move him. I like Caden Smith. I'm just not sure that he's a starting tight end to the caliber of what we're looking for. And then, you know, obviously we have to add a wide receiver. You know, we don't know what's going to happen at cornerback too because of Julian Love and him only playing, you know, select snaps. But I, at the same time, do think that Logan Ryan, McKinney, and Holmes can kind of rotate in at, you know, slot and on the outside. So I think defensively, the biggest thing for me is adding a middle linebacker or adding an edge guy. And that's why I like Micah Parsons so much. offensively, I think we're a total mess. And you get all that cap space, but at the same time, who are we going to sign to fill up all those holes? You know, you're going to spend the majority of the money on getting a wide receiver. If you add another offensive weapon in the first round, that means second, third, fourth, fifth round, we're going all offensive line. And you know what I mean? It seems like you're creating more havoc when I'd rather just have Zeitler. Then you figure out what you're doing at center. If Gates is going to be the guy, you lock down your left guard with one of the two guys we have there. And then we figure out right tackle. If we need to sign someone in free agency, great. I know you guys were talking about Williams. I know he's been somebody that's been linked to us for the last couple of years. He looked pretty good this year, but you know, he's probably going to command a little bit more money now, right? Cause he's had two decent seasons on 1 year contract. So I don't know. I'm not really in favor of trading everybody away at this point. Cause it's like, we're not really in a quote unquote rebuild at this point. It's like, we're trying to go all in this year with Danny. And, you know, if you're giving him a shit old line again, and he has no weapons, it's going to be a disaster, man. And then you got to trade Barkley or you're going to pay him. I just don't think it makes sense to move Zeitler with already having the holes we have on the offensive line.
And then to Murph's point, he also said, we don't have the coin to be signing, you know, veteran linemen to fill these gaps. But I think it's more that we don't have time. We don't have the time to spare on another Cam Fleming like last year. I saw enough. It was a fucking failure. It was terrible. Stop, we didn't even give Pert the time. Like, and I know Pert wasn't ready, but in hindsight, it's like, he's the guy who's going to be on the team this year. So maybe he could have used more reps, but we can't afford for Danny to waste another season behind a makeshift offensive line that we just string together with whatever pennies we have left with our budget.
What makes me mad is we wasted the last, you know, basically 4 or 5 years of Eli's career, and we've already crushed Daniel for the first 2 years of his. So really we're going on about 8 years of a really bad offensive line. And I defend Gettleman because I think people get really ridiculous about it, but he's failed at what he came in to do with the offensive line. And I don't think anyone could argue otherwise, because I mean, offensive line was ranked pretty low this year when it came to just about every statistic. I mean, Daniel's one of the most pressured quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he ranked like 40% of dropbacks he was being pressured, which was like second most in the league. I mean, it's a really big deal. You know what I mean? We're talking about a young quarterback that has thrived in a clean pocket, and we can't offer him that. So I just don't think it makes any sense at all to move Zeitler unless they have a really good plan in place where they're like, hey, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. This is how we're going to fill these holes. We know where we're going, and there's assurances. But you're going into free agency in the draft, there's zero assurances because someone can outbid you. Someone can overdraft a guy. You just never know what's going to happen. And I really don't like that for Daniel going into year three, especially with Garrett at the helm.
Murph, I got to ask, what was the Tiger fist pump about?
Chris Kreider's got his second hat trick in 2 weeks.
Let's go.
Rangers, for all of our listeners out there, go Rangers. No, I mean, I don't know, Johnny. You made a couple good points, and it's got me actually thinking. I'm kind of like, fuck, maybe Gettleman's wild enough to just completely shake up the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we talk about all the mistakes he's made, but he is a guy that isn't afraid to move on from him. So, you know, maybe he wants to move on from Zeitler. He doesn't care about that kind of shit. So that it won't surprise me if they do move on from those guys, but – gotta stop fucking this quarterback over, man. Also, I guess it would be different if we had a lot of cash and we like knew we could go into free agency and be like, yeah, we're getting the left tackle we want or something like that. But like, that's not the situation.
Some newsworthy stuff. We also brought back Pat Flaherty to help the offensive line.
Well, yeah, that's what got me Johnny, with Johnny saying, like, you know, Gettleman making moves and stuff, and then Flaherty and stuff. Maybe they're crazy. Maybe they will shake it up. Maybe we'll have three new starters. I mean, nuts, but I don't know. You were talking about O-line. You know, if anyone should be cut, it's probably Hernandez. I'd rather just take that savings. Yeah. If we can restructure the other two, just get him off, man.
That's another thing. What happens with Will Hernandez next year?
I mean, let's just take the cap savings now if you're going to keep Solder and Zeitler.
I know you got, Murph, you specifically, you got kind of annoyed when people talk about win rate, but isn't he like ranked like top three in the NFL when it comes to run blocking?
Second.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not – listen, I get it.
He's the second best guard in the NFL, bro.
You could literally use a narrative for any number. I understand that. So I'm not throwing that out there to be like, oh, my God, he's the end-all, be-all. But he's a very service player. Like, he's not bad. So I just – I don't know. From an athletic standpoint, I get Shane Lemieux is obviously more what they're looking for at that position.
I just don't think you can just move on from Will, man. We don't have
like, the Giants would only save about $2.1 million by cutting Will Hernandez. You're not going to cut him now. You're not going to find that cheap of labor out on the NFL free agent market.
Yeah, maybe you could trade him for like a fourth. Yeah, I mean, I'm not against that.
Why though? You're not going to get somebody to replace Will Hernandez for less than $3 million.
Unless they're expecting Shane Lemieux to be the starter is the only reason I would – if they're going to start Shane –
then they want to be shopping Zeitler. What are you going to do, create two holes at guard?
That's what I'm worried about. That's where I'm thinking, like, everyone's saying
trade everything. They're not doing that.
I don't know, Midge. We said last week they're not going to cut Tate because we thought the same reason they weren't going to make holes for themselves. But I don't know. Gettleman is on the hot seat, so I won't put some crazy shit past
him. We thought that they would eventually cut Tate. We thought eventually they would cut Mayo. We thought that eventually they would cut Cody Core. The thing is that we didn't think they were going to do it until it was necessary.
Yeah.
So, I will tell you this right now. I will almost bet anything on it that the Giants, if they make any moves on this offensive line right now with the five starters, it will be one less person, not two. I will almost guarantee that. If Zeitler's traded, Solder stays. They're not going to do that. They're not going to create that many holes. And I'm telling you, I was on to something, and I still believe it. Jonathan Harris was more than a depth signing. He is going to start at center this year. I'm telling you, mark my words, Nick Gates will move to either right guard or right tackle, wherever there's a need. And then the Giants will go from there. I'm telling you, boys, mark my words.
It makes sense from what they're trying to do.
But this is good news, though.
Yeah, I know.
Because the Giants are preparing to go after a quote-unquote playmaker.
Listen, I'll put it to you guys like this. We saw what this team looked like with playmakers and no offensive line, right? We saw what Odell and – I mean, we had some really good playmakers. If Eli had a decent offensive line, we'll say top 12, not even like a top 5, top 10 – we would have probably been a lot better of a team. I mean, that's a pretty honest statement anyone can make. But my thing about it is this. You look at Joe Judge, dude, he gets shit done. He's doing exactly what he wants to do. He pieced together a defense throughout that draft last year. They utilized every single player that they got. There wasn't one guy drafted that didn't get time that wasn't hurt. And you saw those players flourish in their roles. So I do truly believe that if they do cut Zeitler or they trade him, they do move Solder, they keep him, whatever it is, I do believe that they are going to address these issues and we're going to see a much more improved unit this year because Joe Judge is going to have another full season under his belt. It's not that I'm sitting here thinking we're going to have a top, 10 line. I don't think we're going to have a bottom, two line, but at the same time, I just don't understand all the ideas of cutting Zeitler and doing this, doing that. I'd rather keep the offensive line intact, find money elsewhere. You have other guys like Cody Core and that the tight end, I don't know how to say his name, Taleo, is that how you say it? Cutting him?
Toyolo.
Yeah. I just think there's money elsewhere we can move around. Extend Bradbury and extend Blake another year. You see what they did. Add a year to their contract, lower their cap hit this year, sign Jabril Peppers like Murph said. I mean, there's just a lot of options that you don't have to just cut the offensive linemen when offensive line is horrible.
I'm telling you guys right now, I'm looking at the Giants' dead cap and their cap hits. It's Solder, man. Zeitler. It really is. That is the biggest savings that the Giants could have. $12 million.
Well, we do have two guards.
So, I mean, if you're looking to trim fat, I know three what Johnny's guards. Saying about, you cut a few other guys that maybe have no dead cap. Cody Core, no dead cap, $2 million savings. Toyolo, $3 million. But, again, you still need to field a 53-man roster, and even in preseason, you're talking about 90 players, $12 million gets you there a lot faster. So I get it. But Johnny also brought up a good point, too, about the fact that, back when we had Odell, we didn't have an offensive line. I trust Joe Judge. I like his direction. Man, but it really does feel like we're stuck in mud, though.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is things do open up next year, but like it's such a window right now for other people.
We have like 37 players under contract. It opens up because we only have like 37 players under contract next
year. Right, and they're all on our like rookie deals basically.
I can understand a lot, you know, a lot of the people online that we go back and forth with, like, I do understand where they're coming from, where they have frustration, where they're like, yo, like, you know, Gettleman had time to fix stuff. They just get annoying about it. It's not that I don't get where they're coming from. Like, yeah, he didn't fix the offensive line. He's made some really bad signings. He's made some stupid decisions. At the same time, all general managers do that type of shit. But when it comes down to it, I think right now we're at a very precious point, like you're saying, Murph, where like, if we don't get this right this offseason with the offense, like we're losing our quarterback, we have to draft a quarterback. Remember the other day you and I were talking about next year's quarterback class is horrible. So no bad. Depth. Even the top guy isn't that good. It's like you're bidding for Jared Goff type player. Like, so I don't feel comfortable going into this season unless our offensive line has truly been retooled and there's a real alpha out there. I'm not saying get us 3-4 wide receivers. I mean, yeah, sure, you'd love that, but if they don't do this right, then guess what? It's all starting over, boys, and that's gonna really fucking suck.
I mean, Giants can't go into the draft needing a position.
Fuck no.
The Giants have to go into the draft.
But we're going
to be able to take the best player available.
We can't, but we're going to because of our money situation.
I disagree. I think that's why they're loading up the way that they are.
Who? Everybody's
on the hot seat. Gettleman's on the hot seat. I think Joe Judge is safe. I think Joe Judge will be safe for a little while.
Me too. But I mean, you got your quarterback, an OC, and a GM in the hot seat, and like, dude,
that's scary territory.
It is. It's scary, but at the same time, historically, the Giants are spenders when they get in this kind of position. So,
and look at what happened last time. I mean, we signed some guys. We had a good year. Yeah, Jenkins and Olivier Vernon and all those signings were great. But at the end of the day, like 2 years later, we were in a fucking disaster. And I don't know, man. I'm really nervous to see like them start cutting players. Like everyone's cheering over Tate and Mayo. I get it. Like that made sense. But like if we cut Zeitler and other guys, like, I don't know, man. I just, they're going to really have to pull some shit out of their ass. That's all I'm going to say. Like Edelman's going to truly have to pull some magic shit. Cause if he can't get Galladay or A-Rob or Godwin or at least something really strong in free agency and then go into the draft and take BPA, I don't know, man. I mean, I like Corey Davis, but going into the draft as him as your number one, that makes me a little nervous. I'm not going to lie to you.
Tino, let me ask you a question, Tino. The Detroit Lions signed Tyrell Williams. Does that mean that possibly Kenny Galladay doesn't get tagged?
I think that definitely means that. But Tyrell Williams was also a guy we said we kind of liked that could have fit this team too. So I didn't know which.
Yeah, well, he's no longer a free agent.
He is no longer a free agent. It's unfortunate. No, you want to know something? The Tyrell Williams signing aside, all I can think about is what JP is just reiterating that we've said on this show like for 2 months now, and it's honestly a scary sight. And honestly, Mage, I want to agree with you and say that we're going to go into the draft and like be able to take best player available. I don't know if we're going to be able to either. I didn't want to jump in and cut off. I just think we have more holes than meets the eye, at least offensively. I think our line is a bigger problem than we think. And we said when this team blows up, we're going to be without a quarterback. We're going to probably be without a running back too. I mean, God knows what's going to happen to Saquon. And then, no, wait, God knows what's going to happen to Saquon. We already don't have a receiver. Ingram's going to be in a decision.
If you push a reset button on Danny, you have to push a reset button on Saquon.
Yeah.
You have to.
No doubt. I mean, dude, that's the whole thing here is like, this is the fucking year. And like, if nothing happens this year, like, everybody's gone and probably JoJo just clean slate and like everybody else honestly, is probably on notice. And
but I wouldn't mind
what John Maurer does, man. He lets GMs get to the point where they have to spend their way to succeed and then it fucks over the next team that comes in and staff and management because of their predecessors. It's
frustrating.
Shouldn't have ever kept Gettleman. I like Gettleman, but like keeping Gettleman, pairing him with a coach he didn't hire, it was just stupid. We had our out.
Yeah.
And I didn't want him fired because it's essentially I wanted Shurmur to stay, but I wanted Shurmur to stay for that reason. And this is just what John Mara does. He sets us up to spend money, and then we fucking screw ourselves in the long run.
The only thing I don't mind is our entire offense being put onto a nice rocket ship and just being sent to the fucking sun and blowing up. If anything's resetting on this offense,
kind of like the SpaceX mission that just
yeah, precisely. Yep. And so the way I look at it, it's like that's worst case scenario for us, but I almost think it's what we need. Like, we're not going to be able to get out of our own fucking way until we blow it up. And I hope it doesn't count with, we say it every time, as long as Judge Graham and the defense could somewhat stay intact, I really don't give a shit. I love Danny. I love quads. But if the only way to get rid of Gettleman and Garrett and this entire fucking disaster of an offense is to suck this year again the same way and blow it up, then we got to do it. I mean, how much worse can it actually get, though? Let's be real. How much worse? How much worse could it get?
I think honestly, though, with the way the team is constructed right now, I don't think Garrett and Gettleman are going to be here another year. I think Garrett already was getting a call for a coaching job. Obviously, that didn't end up happening. I don't see Garrett staying an offensive coordinator with us for decades. That's just not something that I believe is going to happen. I know he wants to be a coach. And Gettleman, I think, honestly, this year is more about sticking it to the people that have been giving him shit for so long about what he's been building in New York. And I think he's going to come out there with guns blazing. So I, Murph, to like comment back to what you were saying before, I think he's going to pull some real big dick shit. He's going to come out and he's going to make some big signings and they're going to try to go a little crazy in the draft. I actually think we're going to end up trading up at some point in the second or the third round. I don't think we're going to trade back. We never do. And I think they're going to try to go all in with what they have. Cause I'll be honest, man, like Danny's not the problem. The offensive line is the problem. The offensive scheme is the problem. The lack of weapons is the problem. So I just really hope that they can do enough to where we can say, Daniel's our guy. Our defense is really, really good. We have some really good solid pieces. Gettleman can step aside and they can bring in some people that are going to help. But for this year, particularly, I think that we're in a very, we're in a bad spot. I mean, I don't really know how else to say it, honestly. It's kind of frustrating.
This ties in though. We're in a bad spot, but I think it brings home to what Murph wanted to do, a quick round table on the division. I mean, look, we're in a bad spot, but the entire NFC East is a disaster. I mean, outside of Washington at this point, who still doesn't have a quarterback. Dallas has a quarterback. They don't even like him. And the Eagles are a fucking clusterfuck. See, Maze, you're laughing. I've never seen a team dislike a quarterback that should be their franchise quarterback more than the Cowboys with Dak Prescott.
And the sad part is, I like Dak Prescott a lot. I think he's such a good quarterback. I think he's so underrated.
I think he's one of the best in the league.
So disrespected.
Shit on.
And all the shit he's gone through with the team, especially, it's fucked up. I think it's fucked up.
You guys want to know my secret philosophy on the Dak situation? I think Jerry Jones is scared shitless to pay another quarterback because of what happened with Tony Romo. He paid a guy who couldn't get him over the hump, and he held on way too long, and it never got it done. And I think he's having deja vu with that with Dak, where he doesn't have a top offense.
Andy Dalton has proved that you need Dak Prescott, though. I don't think they're going to be able to get by. I mean, who else did they sign? Fucking Ben DiNucci did play this year. I don't even know who the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but who did they? But how well did they? When Tony Romo went down, they never were good. So I mean, like, yeah, he's a. I'm not saying
Dak Prescott went down. How good was Zeke?
What do you mean?
Zeke didn't do shit this year without Dak.
Well, I just mean it from the perspective that he could very well be looking at it from that same perspective of, I don't want to pay a guy record-breaking money, and then I'm stuck with him for the next 5-6 years when he just can't get me over the – that's my thinking of it, because nothing else makes sense.
I get it, but honestly, I'd rather have a seat at the table than be outside looking at the window.
They also gave the record-breaking money to Zeke. So if they're feeling that way, it's because they're idiots and decided to do that already.
Yeah.
Wrong position. Seriously. I mean, they chose
to pay their running back and their wide receiver, Tino, before their quarterback.
I think, too, that Dallas, as much as I think they're a disaster, Dak will probably get tagged again, unfortunately, the poor fucking guy. But the offense is going to carry them, and their defense is still going to be a disaster. I mean, really, Zeke sucked because their offensive line was terrible, too. I think Dallas is Dallas no matter what. McCarthy's a terrible coach. That's the one thing I'm hanging my hat on. The reason I think Washington and the Giants will be there is based on coaching. Coaching alone, honestly. I think the Eagles are inept because of just people making their decisions. And Dallas, Mike McCarthy. That's just it. Mike McCarthy.
Washington doesn't have a quarterback, man. I'm so sick of everyone jerking them off.
Well, I mean, the thing is, all right, you get a guy like Trey Lance in a strong coaching system, and you coach them up. They have a decent offense. They got weapons. They add another wide receiver to that offense. They have the tight end. They got the running back. Their O-line wasn't horrible. I don't know, man. I think Washington is actually the only team in the division that actually makes me nervous of
what they can do. I actually, though, I don't think they need a young quarterback.
I think they're going to go veteran, too.
They got to go veteran. If they want to compete, they have to go vet.
Who? Who, though?
Teddy Bridgewater, Cam Newton, somebody.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Bruce.
Yeah, but the problem is
– they're going to rely on Heineke and get a rookie, man. I really do.
I don't think Teddy or Cam makes sense. You saw what Teddy did with the Panthers. They had a really good offense.
Yeah, but legitimately, all they need is a guy who won't turn the ball over.
Yeah, but Cam and Teddy both do that. They have the offense to build around him.
We both have pretty stout defenses.
Yeah.
Offenses. And yeah. The only leg up that we have right now is we have a quarterback and they have a wide receiver.
Well, they have Logan Thomas and Gibson, so they have pieces, but they're offensive line. They need a wide receiver, too. They need a slot guy.
Yeah, like, yeah, they're just definitely as far not as us. Like, they have some work to do as well. Like, I'm not – they can definitely test us in our division for sure, but, like, it's not like the Eagles were for the last 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
Like, complete, they're not a powerhouse is what I'm getting at. Like, they're in the same situation as us. Like, the division's up for grabs, and that's why I kind of want the Giants to just go for it.
I agree.
But, like, again, that's the way of the Giants. They do this shit all the time. Put their self up against the wall, and then they want to back themselves in a corner, and then they just spend.
Yeah.
No. Because they feel like it's right. It was the same thing in 2016, man. The division was wide open. Our defense was dominant. I mean, Eli moved the ball just enough for them to win. And no doubt. But Washington does scare me. They got to re-sign all those defensive linemen next year, though.
Yeah, that's
Ron Payne's a free agent. So is Jonathan Allen. Kerrigan's gone this year. So
do they have money?
They have some money, but they don't have – like I was reading that the reason they haven't been in on trades a lot lately with quarterbacks is because they don't have the cap for it because they know they're going to have to re-sign some guys. And Landon Collins is fucking them, which is awesome.
Yeah. Who was hurt all year, by the way.
Yeah, he's fucking them. They got to ask him to take a pay cut, I would think. But, yeah, I don't know. They're in a similar spot as us, man. They got some more money, though. That's for sure. But, again, they don't have a play caller, dude. And until they do, I can't fear them. I can't fear them.
They also can't beat us, so I don't fear them.
Yeah, they haven't beat us in 2 years either. So, like, I mean, again, we beat them last year, so.
And the year before. Well, that's why I started this.
For whatever reason, decided to go for two instead of tying the game and go to overtime. But, yeah, we own them.
Yeah, it is what it is. But they're definitely the threat of the division, in my opinion. I'm not scared of Dallas. Oh, man. What a strange turn of events. Yeah. Think they're going to take a quarterback?
Who, Washington?
Nah, Eagles.
No.
Not a chance.
No way. I kind of do, man.
Thing is, their upper management decided they wanted Jalen Hurts. They pushed the coach out, and I personally see Jalen Hurts as a guy that can come in there and play really well. I mean, he played four games. Two games he looked phenomenal. Two games he looked bad. So he played like a rookie. You know, I think if you could build that offensive scheme around him, he can be really, really good. I said Jalen Hurts was my second favorite quarterback in the class before the season started. And, you know, most people laughed and, you know, now he's the guy. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't see them going quarterback at all. They have way too many needs and they're going to be rebuilding this year. Why not see what you have?
Somehow, Johnny, you just always seem to hit on prospects. You're like 100 out of 100.
Nah, I miss on my boy guys and a few others.
He's got a ways to go.
I'm a big fan.
I do like Jalen.
I got a couple of
his
parts.
They're going to bring in someone. I'm telling you. They're bringing
– quarterback wise? It's
going to be a rookie or a bit. Yeah, for sure.
There's no way they could take a quarterback two drafts in a row. They got way too many fucking holes to fill.
Okay, and there's no way they should take
second
the wide
over in. Dude, they took a fucking quarterback in the second round last year, and we said no way. Like, dude – I'm not rolling that
honestly,
out.
Honestly, at six, I mean, Dan Schneider said this, but I agree with him. I can completely see the Eagles going offensive line.
Yeah.
But 100%. The Eagles.
They should.
I mean, if Rashawn Slater is there, God forbid Penei Sewell slips. But if Rashawn Slater is there, I can see them going offensive line. Ferataka.
I told you a while ago, Maj. He plays guard and tackle, too.
I told you, you never miss, JP. You never miss.
Unless it's Joe Mixon or Darius Geis or...
That's it. I stole all your thunder, Murph. You said quarterback, and then I said no, and that's it. You just be quiet. I wish that would happen a lot more often.
People have been saying,
shut the hell up.
Justin Fields. I mean, I guess Zach Wilson's not going to fall that far, right?
I think they both go top 4.
Really, just depends.
Good thing I really don't care.
All right, you know what? Fuck it. Because what else do we have to talk about? Let's go through who the first top 10 picks are to Giants pick then. So, one, we all agree Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
I mean, anyone saying that Wilson's better is just, look, not knocking Wilson, but insanity. Just like we've been talking about Trevor Lawrence for 3 years. Get the fuck out of here with that, Wilson.
Yeah, people are just getting bored of him being number one at this point.
Yeah.
What do the Jets do it too?
I think they trade out of it, man.
I could see that, man.
Trade with Carolina.
They're not taking Zach Wilson, I assure you that. I also worry, and I like Zach Wilson's intangibles, but it's starting to really scare me how much everyone else likes him. And look, I'm a gambling man, so I like to fade the public a lot. Whenever people are this high on someone, he's giving me Mitch Trubisky vibes is what I'm getting at. He's giving me real Mitch Trubisky vibes. He has really good tape, played for BYU. I know he was an Elite 11 quarterback, but I've told you guys from the beginning here that it was a Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields thing forever. But now I'm seeing mock after mock. I see the Trey Lances of the world jumping Justin Fields. I see Zach Wilson. Like, I understood Zach Wilson for a second, but once I start seeing the Trey Lances and everyone so low on Justin Fields, I'm not buying it, yo. I'm really not buying it. I think the Jets are shopping Sam. If they can't get anything worth value for him, they're not going to be like the Eagles and just be an idiot and just give up their former top three pick. But if they are, I would be genuinely surprised because Joe Douglas and Saleh know what they're doing. So I think they're going to shop. Yeah, they're going to shop, but I don't think they're taking Wilson. I think they're taking Sewell, or they'll probably trade out of it, if I'm not mistaken. That's what I would do.
I do think they trade that pick for a quarterback, or like a team trades up for a quarterback at that spot. Because after the Jets, you know, you just don't really know what's going to happen. Miami very realistically could trade out of that spot, or they'll take Sewell. After that is Atlanta, right, at 4?
Yeah. Atlanta's taking –
they need a quarterback.
Atlanta's taking a quarterback without a doubt.
Well, before we go on real quick, I mean, Tino, I said that earlier. I said, right, don't buy all the noise that you're hearing lately. Usually the mock that was 4 years ago about who the best player was or big board is probably still correct. Like, don't worry about what you've heard the last couple of months. Like, I agree with you. I think it's probably Trevor Lawrence. Justin Fields, I can see Zach Wilson pushing him for that. Just because of the intangible assets. But
he fits certain schemes better. I get it. He's very – Justin Fields is straight out of the gun, very spread related. Not every team can fit that. But I told you guys from the beginning, I think him to Atlanta makes so much sense, especially with them just getting a new offensive-minded coach as their head coach.
Personally, I get into arguments with Jets fans. I think that the Jets should take Penei Sewell second. I don't –
what do you do with that?
I like that. Pardon?
What do you do with Becton? Leave him at left?
Yeah.
In my feed, you can't move Becton to right because these players are fragile. They want to play left tackle because they get paid more money than right tackle. Look, you're a fucking second-year player in the NFL. If I tell you yes to move to right tackle, guess where you're going?
Okay.
Or you're going to the right tackle.
Whatever. I mean, dude, great pick. I don't think they can pick.
Realistically, though, here's not a crazy trade back option, though, either. You know, we talk about it. I could see a team hopping up to the Jets pick, taking someone, then the Dolphins take Sewell, and maybe the Jets draft a receiver and like Chase. They do need a receiver. So I could see them trading back, maybe not too much. They keep Sam, get him some help. They do have 2 firsts, and offensive linemen are falling in this draft. So they could get someone in the 20s. They could.
Trade down with the Giants, and Giants take Sewell.
Fuck.
Jesus. If he fell through 11, dude, I would – I don't even – honestly, I don't even know what I would do what I did last year with the pick. Except I'd be even happier.
Yeah, we got to do the draft again. All right, so Miami Dolphins 3. I say offensive line. I was off on that. Murph convinced me otherwise. Murph said that they go offensive line too.
Yes.
We see two offensive linemen go 2 and 3 if a quarterback's not taking 2.
Yeah, I think if no one trades to 2 and the Jets don't go, well, I don't think the Jets are going 2 for a quarterback. I think they go. Dolphins are going to take a lineman after that. Slater's not a top 3 pick.
Well, it depends who. But there are some people out there that do think that even Slater might be. But I think that Slater is probably a second best prospect in this draft. And again, look, people had the same questions about Wirfs and Wills, right? Is he a guard? Is he a tackle? We saw Wirfs make that transition. Actually, he stood at tackle, rather. With it, I think Slater can play tackle in the NFL.
So, I mean, they said the same thing about Ramczyk. They said he was a guard, and you know, this, that, and the other. And he's
one of the best right tackles in the NFL.
You know, the guy that was drafted instead of Evan Engram. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. I will tell you this: if you're a really good right tackle in the NFL, guess what? You're gonna get paid
a lot of money.
So it doesn't really matter what side of the line that you play on. Which brings me to a whole nother point about Orlando Brown, all that fucking crying that he's doing because he wants to stay on the left. Like, my God, dude. Like, I mean, he fell because because there were questions about his work ethic and whether or not he can do the job. But, man, suck it up and move on.
Do we think that's maybe because he doesn't like to run block?
Are they predominantly running to the right? Or?
Well, he's on the left.
Just this year, though. So Johnny's question is,
I don't know.
Fucking question. I thought there was some logic behind. Guess not. Thanks, man.
That's the question for a reason. Because I don't know.
All right. So we're all in agreement that we think Miami goes offensive line with the 3rd pick. So they pass on Jamar Chase then, boys.
You have to.
Yeah, I don't think Chase is a top 5 pick, man. I think it's – I mean, statistically, how many wide receivers have gone in the top 10 in the last, like, 6-7 drafts? I think 1,
that's 2017. Fair. So, in 4, do we all think that the Atlanta Falcons go quarterback then with Matt Ryan still there?
I don't know, man. I think I brought it up on the last pod when we talked about Zach Wilson there. I can't believe we haven't heard Matt Ryan trade rumors. I'm surprised, but
why?
If they do, yeah, that's the pick. I don't know what else they would build, right?
Pretty soon, I don't know. The new coach, I feel like you should start rebuilding now. But
yeah, I mean, you get
it
your
sounds
guy,
like
right?
They have no plans to trade in Ryan and Jones, though.
That's not the worst way to go. I mean, look, Mahomes set. If we did anything right, I think our transition to Danny was the right way. We didn't force our quarterback. I don't like these guys getting forced. So if Zach Wilson can go down there and sit for a little bit, it might be the best thing for him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. So now here's a real interesting thing. All right, so if you have the Jets going, let's say Sewell and Lyman, what the fuck do the Bengals do at 5?
Me and Johnny were talking this yesterday, man.
They
got crazy enough to do what, JB?
No, I mean, you're talking about this, what, yesterday about them adding offensive weapons because, you know,
well,
Zach Taylor.
If both offensive linemen are gone at point, trade down seems like the only logical answer for the Bengals, no?
They got to go offensive line, bro. They got to go offensive
line. But you can still get a guy like Tucker possibly later, even Tevers. There's still going to be offensive linemen available. Even early in that 2nd round, there's still a lot of offensive linemen that I like.
This is my thing, dude. You have a guy that is your franchise quarterback that's going to be 25 years old soon. He got the shit beat out of him last year, bro.
You're talking about Cosme. You're talking about the other one, Eichenberg from Notre Dame. Draft. I don't think you're taking one of those at 5, though, Johnny.
But how many went last year in the top 20? what, 6 or 7? I mean, it was a better class. Yeah,
I think you can still trade down and get one of those guys, though. I don't think you take them.
So you're saying trade down and take one in the top like 10 or 15. Yeah,
I think at this point with the top two tackles off the board, I don't think that Bengals can sit there at 5. I think they have to explore trading down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think that one of the teams at 2 or 3 is 100% going to trade out of that spot. I just don't see that it being 1, 2, 3, 4. Everyone just picks. Personally, I don't see that being the case. But, you know, obviously crazier things that have happened in the NFL. I just don't think that a team's not going to move up for a player like Carolina. I think that's the team to watch to move up. They've had all these rumors. They've made a ton of cap room space.
What about them?
I mean, yeah, I was actually reading, I think it was yesterday, about John Elway. They're saying, like, if he doesn't do anything this year, like, he's gone. But, I mean, you know, at the same time, maybe they give Drew Lock an opportunity with a full off season to really come in there and do something. I don't know. I mean, he's not bad. He's only started 18 games. I mean, it's just tough, man, with these young quarterbacks.
49ers pick 12th. Could the 49ers possibly move up for a guy like Justin Fields?
That would be amazing. Oh, my God. Whew.
I mean, there are some teams that could use a quarterback. Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah. Kurt's getting old. Didn't they just re-sign him last year, though, Kurt?
Well, he signed a 3-year deal. I think they did. I'm not sure what the terms of it was. But Chicago Bears are another team also. All right.
New England.
Let's move on to the Eagles at 6 then. This is what we were talking about.
They got to go defense, man.
So cornerback,
Howie. I had takes a skill guy because there's too many good ones on the board right now.
Jamar Chase is still there for the
team. Telling you, I could see him take Kyle Pitts too. Either one of them.
Ah, man, that would be so dumb. But it's such an Eagles thing to do. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. There's just so much depth at wide receiver and tight end in this draft. Like, why you would reach that high on a guy? I don't understand it. Second round, you're getting a top guy still. Terrence Marshall and Jalen Reagor would be an amazing duo for them. And you get him in the second round.
Eagles is still on the board here. What do they do? All the top cornerbacks are available. Caleb Farley, Patrick Chan.
I like J.C. Horn a lot, man.
Imagine J.C. Horn to these guys when Mage was doing his mock. I like J.C. Horn a lot. And that's someone I said if the Giants trade back.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd ever trade back, but you know, that's someone we could target too because we need
But
you're asking what the Eagles are gonna do. The Eagles don't even know what the Eagles are gonna do. I can't take mocking the Eagles draft pick seriously. I really can't. I'm sorry, they're a fucking joke. They are. I hope they draft another receiver or they draft a quarterback because they really need offensive linemen and defensive help. But will they ever do it? I don't know. I think they just prefer fucking over their players because it is a joke that last year you got Brandon Brooks coming back, who you signed big time, coming off an Achilles injury. Good luck with that. Jason Peters was on his last leg. He's finally gone now. I mean, and they're holding the rest of the lineup with duct tape. So they should take an offensive lineman, but I genuinely don't think they will. And their defense is still in shambles. So, yeah, no.
I can see cornerback being in play there. In terms of draft board, like you guys had said, Micah Parsons, right, Tino? So he would still be an option there at some point.
It depends. They still have Brandon Graham, though, no? Brandon Graham. Oh, well, they might have to make a decision on Brandon Graham, actually.
Yeah, but I mean.
They're paying him, from my understanding. They also have a few decent guys that they like. I know they like Duke Riley a lot. Duke Riley played pretty well for them last year from the linebacker position. So, I mean, I don't
know. I think offensive line, I agree with you, is their biggest need.
Or probably secondary. I think you're then right there. I think they got to go corner. They probably got to go best corner available. Well, but they did trade for Darius Slay. They have a number one corner. Why would they draft a corner? They have one already.
In terms of availability, I think cornerback would probably be the best value for that pick. But again, the Eagles could also trade down. So
yeah, but see, they tanked for that pick, bro. You don't think they're like they were thinking somebody there?
QB. Well, even if you tank for the pick, you can still gain additional assets by trading down.
QB.
Shut up, Murph.
Yeah, but at this point, though, Murph, with the mock that we just did real quickly, I mean, Trey Lance is the only quarterback left on the board. Are you taking him? I don't think so.
You're taking a project to replace a project?
I think they're going to bring in a vet, honestly, man. I really do.
Like Andy Dalton, Red Rocket?
Or something. Yeah, that.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I mean, they'd be smart to do that. I hope they don't, honestly, so.
I think they're going to give the reins to Jalen Hurts.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, nice. That...
Ryan, did he really?
Yeah, officially, like an hour ago.
What?
No!
What?
Are you serious? Teams are going to be pissed. There's a lot of teams in on him.
Really?
I didn't see that. Tino,
bro, you're lying.
I cannot believe you.
Why are you lying on a live podcast?
I would never.
I thought he said he was coming back.
You are the Ron Burgundy of this podcast.
According to it did happen. No, that's a fake account, bro. Come on, man.
We've been played before. We've been played.
NFL
before.
Update, My Sports Update. It's a fake account, bro.
You're
right.
Yeah, there's
right.
Nothing. Ian Rappaport. I follow all the guys. I would have gotten an alert.
Come on, Tino.
Be better.
Get out of the track.
At least I didn't say Trevor Bauer was a Met.
By the way, I mean.
I don't want Fitz in our division, so. I'm cool with him.
His agent, Rachel Luba, by the way, she's more of a Jersey chick than anybody else I possibly even know. I mean, she was cursing during that interview and everything else. It was hilarious, by the way. Tino, just alluding to it. Because guess what? Where can they find the best Mets content, Tino?
Yeah, we're going to live stream, I think, this weekend, even though Mage doesn't like to coordinate and tell us what day he's going to be available for the live stream. So we can't tell you guys when this comes out tomorrow, but it'll be sometime this weekend. DeGrom pitches on Saturday, so it'll be sometimes before then. But what do you say? WHADDYA Shay, all your Mets content. And here's the good news, guys. PD Piss Missiles hit one to the fucking moon today. Exit velo of like 112. It was a grand slam. Meanwhile, the Yankees, you know, my heart's out to Boone. I hope he's okay. I heard he's recovering, but Yanks lost 15-0, I think, today. Not great, but
it was 14-0, bro. Calm down.
Training.
It's propaganda, all right?
Here's the good news for Yankee fans. Dylan Betances was on the hill today for the Mets. He got 2 outs and 5 pitches, and the announcer said, expect a lot of sliders here. Betances is going to try to work this spring training. He really wants to work out the kinks. Yeah, he threw the slider, and he couldn't locate that, couldn't locate his fastball. He ended up throwing 30 pitches in a fucking inning. And his fastball is at 90 miles an hour now. So, fuck. Fuck that. Fuck that.
All right, let's just burn through these real quick. So we said we'd get to a Giants pick. So Eagles, we're not sure. Let's go cornerback there. Detroit Lions, I'm assuming wide receiver here. Ja'Marr Chase is still on the board.
Why would they go wide receiver, though? I was thinking about that the other day. Like,
well, in terms of value, where would you want them to go?
Yeah. Defense. Michael I mean, their Parsons. Defense is trash. Yeah, Micah Parsons.
All right.
I mean, dude, this guy Dan Campbell was talking about biting off kneecaps in his interview. You don't think he wants Micah Parsons rubbing his
Dan Campbell faces? Also does an 8-ball before every press conference. So
I actually listened to Dan Campbell on Tiki and Tiernan this week, and it was the weirdest fucking interview I've ever heard.
He's a
straight in my entire
fuck,
life.
Dude, man.
Very nice guy. Seems like a very good guy, but like whack job.
The line. Like he's the kind of guy that would like help you bury a body, but like smile while you were doing it.
And then the Lions are going to be a team that needs to draft well.
You know, I know you're trying to talk, but it's not working.
No, I'm just trying to make jokes. All I was going to say is he'd help you hide the body, but then accidentally snitch on it. Like he wouldn't snitch. He just wouldn't understand that he's snitching because, you know, he's Dan Campbell.
He'd be like bragging at a bar to some chick, and he'd be like, "Oh shit."
So listen, there was this body, right? My friends called me. No, don't worry. He wasn't dead. Not when I got there. No, they need offensive line help. So I was going to say,
yeah,
attention. And they have Swift. They just got Goff, paying Goff a lot of money. So they probably want to.
And Goff needs an O-line.
Don't do what they did to Matt Stafford. Don't do that.
The question is, though, if they don't tag Golladay, right? So we said before about this Tyrell Williams being that possibly Kenny Galladay's gone. So if they don't tag Golladay, what do you do? You only have Tyrell Williams. You got no other wide receivers on the roster.
I was thinking about that when you were talking about it, bro. I think, honestly, like, it makes no sense to not skim because at worst case scenario, you rescind the tag if you don't find a suitor.
Here's my thing, though, Johnny, right, about that is I like to go based on profiles and fits when it comes to the franchises. Tyrell Williams and Kenny Golladay are the same size, separated by 9 pounds. right? The last time we saw a wide receiver duo like that was in Carolina with Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin, the Twin Towers. How did that work out?
Well, they're also slow and fat.
But, I mean, but neither of these two guys are really all that fast, Kenny Galladay or Tyrell Williams. They're not speedsters. So, I mean, who's going to work underneath? And then what does Cephas do? So that's the only thing that's got me thinking. And I got into this with our boy Chris and my boy Sean. But, I mean, I don't know. Tyrell Williams profiles as if you're going to move on from Kenny Galladay. I don't think you're going to have two guys that are the same size running, both playing outside. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think, too, people forget they still have TJ Hockenson. He's going to be a ball, you know what I mean? He's going to be a ball hog for them. I think, you know, between him, Cephas, they could sign a cheap vet to play the slot. I mean, you know what I mean? They're not in a terrible situation, man. They'll go out and get somebody. Cephas looked good. I think that they tagged
Galladay. If you're going to keep Galladay, then you get a guy that's a speedster that can spread the field, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what good it does to have Tyrell Williams playing opposite Kenny Galladay. I could be wrong, just my feeling on it.
I don't think Kenny Galladay wants to be there, man.
So he doesn't.
Gonna play
huge, I don't think so
either. Huge deal into it. And it was interesting listening to Cam Tiki the other day because he said they asked him if he was able to sit down with Matt Stafford and try to, like, save him before he left. And they didn't. He said he never even got to do that. So, I mean, Kenny Galladay packed up and, like,
you've been
they
saying
should
all
probably
along,
tag them, but they don't have to do anything. But they should tag them and trade them. I mean, what's the point of not doing that?
You made a point about it too, Murph, where you said he never went on IR.
Yeah, because they said he was healthy enough to play. But Mage, go ahead.
All right, so Carolina Panthers then at that point. Trey Lance is the only quarterback still available on the board. If you guys got Michael Parsons, who would be the best available going to Detroit, where does Carolina go then? Do they go wide receiver because Curtis Samuel's a free agent?
I could see him go corner.
They're not going quarterback, you're saying?
Well, Trey Lance is the last quarterback available.
I could definitely see Matt Rhule loving Trey Lance, man. He loves fast, athletic players.
Really?
I mean, look at the profile.
I think, again, I know we're doing this a little early, but I think that they can – I think they're going to make a huge run at Deshaun Watson.
I agree.
I think they're going to try to throw the house at Houston.
I agree.
So, they might not even own the pick.
What's that?
They might not even own the pick.
Yeah, that's a good point. They keep saying, like, I saw something from a Skins beat group the other day. It said Houston had 5 offers for Deshaun this week that they turned down. The Skins weren't one of them. So, I mean, Panthers are probably making offers every week. They cleared all that cap. It is interesting that, wasn't Denver clearing cap? Was it them? Panthers and somebody else was cutting a bunch of people. That was in the Sean Chase. Maybe not. But Panthers obviously have already done all that. But I agree with you, Mage. I think they're going to be on that. And it's crazy. We're talking about all these teams. One of them is going to be on it.
Who said corner?
Me.
All right. So I think corner would be the way to go if they keep the pick. They did lose James Bradbury last year. So I can certainly see them trying to get a corner outside of that. So the only two still available on the board at that point – well, actually, it's 3. What do we have Dallas going? I forget.
Defense.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Philly, Detroit. Yeah, so at this point – who did Philly take? No, we said possibly J.C. Horn. So, Caleb Farley? Offensive line?
What about?
Whatever.
Do you guys like Farley over Surtain? Surtain?
No, I actually went back and I did a little film review just because of the chat. Some guys were just throwing out some shit to or players to watch. I actually don't like Foley all that much. I think he's too reliant on his athleticism. I don't think he does really well in the press. And he kind of tends to overplay the wide receiver. I don't think he's going to do really good at the next level. I think he lacks the physicality to play corner and at the NFL level. I actually like Surtain ahead of him.
Yeah, I think he's my – I think him and J.C. Horn are, like, my two favorites. So I definitely agree with you there.
Yeah, I mentioned in the chat what I liked and disliked. But Caleb Farley looks like he can get beat quite often at the NFL level.
So, I'll tell you, do we think it's that crazy for the Dallas Cowboys to be just fucking assholes and take Kyle Pitts?
No.
They don't have a tight end.
Oh, they have Blake Jarwin. But then again, I mean, they have so many weapons at wide receiver. I mean, Kyle Pitts is just another mouth to feed, though. So,
Dak throws the ball 500 times a year. You think he gives a shit? He's going to be like more than
no, Mary. He doesn't. But at the same time, how are you going to be able to make them all happy, though?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, Gallup's going to be gone soon, right?
Well, I don't know. You keep saying that he is.
Do you think Cooper stays or Gallup stays? Because they got to move.
Dallas signed Cooper last year, so. Last year, right? So you still have CD on a rookie deal, so I think that you can keep Cooper at his current deal. Gallup, you're going to have to pay soon. Granted, he would be cheaper than Cooper, but I think Cooper's probably the more talented wide receiver, though.
So if they move on, I guess I'm just thinking like curveballs because I feel like every year there's always a pick where you're like, holy shit, I didn't see that coming. I do feel like Dallas could be that team if Kyle Pitts falls.
I don't disagree with you.
You know, because CeeDee was we were all shocked when CeeDee got picked by them, and they were like, he was our number like three player on our board or whatever it was. So I wouldn't be shocked if they're like Kyle Pitts fell to us. We just couldn't say no, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I saw a mock draft had the fucking Jets trading down and taking Kyle Pitts. So,
God, I'd be so sick.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by anything. So Carolina Panthers cornerback, whichever one best available, Patrick Surtain. Denver Broncos at 9. Trey Lance still on the board, too. So could Denver possibly go cornerback?
What's their biggest need right now? Defense, right? Or not defense, offensive line?
Well, offensive line, they can definitely use an edge guy, especially if they're looking at cutting Von Miller as well. So you still have Gregory Rousseau still on the board as well.
Do you think he's a top 10 pick? Everyone's all over the map on him.
I haven't seen any tape on him, but from what I've heard, the athleticism and all is there. But he's going to be an extremely raw talent, though.
So he's kind of like the kid that Green Bay drafted 2 years ago.
Sean Gary?
Yeah, same type of player, right?
Gary's a little bit bigger, I think. Athletic, but.
Same type of prospect?
I don't know. I would say that I think Gregory has more upside.
I don't know what Denver's going to do. I think they're kind of an oddball because their defense is, like, good but not great. And then their offense, like, obviously struggled pretty mightily, but they have the weapons. I think you go offensive line if you're going to stick with Drew Lock and just build around him.
Fair enough. Dallas Cowboys, cornerback, still got J.C. Horn available. Micah Parsons is gone. Unless they go edge, go with a guy like Gregory.
What do you guys think?
I think that the Cowboys need to replenish the offensive line, but I think that now you're starting to reach for offensive tackles in the first round. You're talking about the 10th pick.
Cowboys are going to take BPA. They always do. Every single time.
Yeah, I agree.
So who do they go?
Huh?
So who do they go?
Who did Pitts go to?
By the way, boys, Ja'Marr Chase is still on the board at this point.
Yeah. I know, and I was thinking about our pick.
Pitts hasn't gone yet. We kind of went back and forth with the idea of Dallas taking him.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. Surtain.
He's gone, right?
Surtain went to the Panthers.
So all the teams that people say are going to take wide receivers didn't take any wide receivers in our draft. yeah, I don't know. It's getting tough here because now you're in Jamar Chase territory, right?
The Cowboys can't take Jamar
Chase. Yeah, they're not taking him. This point is almost criminal. Still,
who's the second best player on the board right now?
Jamar Chase would be best player on the board. Second best would probably be
Kyle Pitts if he's still there, right?
Kyle Pitts. You're talking about Russell. You're talking about Waddle.
Bateman. I mean, there's a lot on the board.
I actually had Washington taking Bateman in my first mock draft.
Barely.
The cornerback?
Well, we assume that Philadelphia also went cornerback as well. So I went Farley for them. So J.C. Horn would probably be the last one.
I could see three cornerbacks going top 10 before we see three wide receivers going top 10.
Jeff Okuda went three last year.
And he had a horrible season.
Yeah.
And we were all jerking off to that dude all
year. That's what I'm saying, man. It's
such a crapshoot. That's what's so crazy about this. We'll hype up a player and they'll just end up being
Jamar Chase would be the I'm looking at PFF's top 200 big board. Jamar Chase would be the best player available, followed by Jalen Waddle, followed by Devonta Smith, Kyle Pitts, Trey Lance. So
it's I feel like we would all agree, right? Chase, Pitts, and then
Trey.
I mean, Quiddy Pay, Christian Darrisaw, maybe offensive tackle. The Cowboys need the help, man.
All right, who's next?
G-Man.
Yeah, it would be us.
So Jamar Chase.
Right? I mean, it almost seems set up.
But I don't think that's like out of question, man. Like, I really think Jamar Chase's range is 8 through 11-ish. Like, I know there's so much talk about these wide receivers, but like, we just did it. It's realistic. A lot of these teams need O-line and corner, right?
Same as the Giants.
Well, yeah, but like, teams tend to pass earlier on wide receivers than they do on O-line and corners, you know?
Do you think there's – with Joe Judge's philosophy in mind and our offensive line needs and obviously cornerback being a need, linebacker, all that stuff, edge, if Jamar Chase is there, do we all agree that Judge is just going to, like, smash the table for him?
I don't know if I would say smash. I think that the Giants will go best player available regardless who's there and regardless of what they do in the draft. Look, if the Giants sign a guy like Kenny Golladay or if the Giants sign a guy like Allen Robinson or even Corey Davis, there is absolutely nothing wrong with taking a guy like Jamar Chase and putting Sterling Shepard in the slot.
Oh, my God. I think that would be amazing. I do wonder because Jamar Chase, he doesn't – like, his game isn't speed, so he's obviously not a big separation guy. So I wonder if they got a guy like Kenny Golladay, if Jamar Chase was there, if they would prefer to go him or they'd wait to, like – I know some people will probably hear me say that and be like, you're crazy. But I'm just thinking from a separation standpoint.
It makes sense. Like maybe a guy like Jalen Waddle to be opposite a guy like Kenny Golladay, a guy that could spread the field. At the same time, too, though, right? I mean, Golladay can spread the field, too, because of his size, not necessarily because of his quickness. So if he can get downfield, you're talking about contested catches. You're talking about, you know, yards per reception being a little bit higher. Jalen Waddle is a guy that you probably want to put in the slot at that point and then maybe play Sterling Shepard outside. Because Jalen Waddle, with what he can do with yards after the catch compared to a guy like Sterling Shepard.
I feel like they could be kind of interchangeable too, though, no? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
whole absolutely. Around. I think Evan Engram kind of kills that, though, for them.
How so?
You almost want to give a guy like Jalen Waddle room to work with, right? So you want to kind of take the top off the defense, send your guys deep, give him space to work underneath, so you spread out the safeties and spread out the corners. But then what do you do with fucking Engram? play Evan Engram over the seam? Run out routes with him cross? But no one's going to fucking worry about protecting him or covering him.
I mean, I'll just say this about Engram because I know you guys, a lot, most people are over him. The thing with Engram, if he has a strong offseason and can mentally get himself to a place where he can actually perform well and catch balls that are thrown at him, you have a really strong offense, man. I mean, you have a guy that you can send up the seam. You can have a very creative game plan because Waddle and Shep obviously are interchangeable, like you just said. And then you have Golladay. I mean, I think you have a really strong offense at that point. And obviously we're hoping the offensive line gets better. But if you're loaded like that, I think Daniel has a field day with weapons. And obviously you still have Saquon in the backfield. That's something we're leaving out where he's our best weapon. So
The Giants also had the 31st offensive line in terms of pass efficiency last year. And we're talking about getting rid of Zeitler. So let's see how many pressures Danny gets next year as well.
He's been sacked 87 times in 2 years. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. So let's close it out on that point. Does anybody have any final words?
Evan Engram is going to drop twice as many balls as he did last year if he stays on this team next year. I don't care how good the offense looks. That's the one thing you didn't account for in your scenario there. When he runs the seam, he drops the ball. But that's all. That's all I have.
You know, I appreciate those closing arguments. That's it. Murph, anything?
Nothing, man. Got my popcorn ready and ready for this show to get on the road.
Guys, I mean, we're at March 4th right now, March 5th when this podcast will probably come out. We're only about 2 weeks away from free agency. That's it.
Well, according to ESPN, next week is going to be a, quote, massacre of cuts, quote.
And nobody can see because this is a podcast, but you are doing air quotes.
Correct. Marvel. But I said quote, too, so it's bad.
Oh, okay. All right. Appreciate that. JP, any final closing words?
No, I really appreciate you guys having me on. I had a good time chatting with you.
Absolutely. Make sure you give her sister back her swim trunks, all right? Make sure you give your sister back her swim
trunks. Everybody check out JP's profile picture.
Yeah, man. It's absolutely. Good, some good content for you guys.
It's a little disturbing, but... All right, boys, that's going to wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love, everyone. Peace.